How do you know you're in a toxic relationship? What are the signs? What are the things to look for? What are the red flags that you are in a toxic relationship with a narcissist and that it's time to start thinking about getting out?
The beginning of a relationship with a narcissist can be very deceptive. In most cases, a narcissistic relationship begins just like any other, with the standard phases of initial attraction, infatuation, and eventually falling in love.
If you're a decent person with a good heart and you're trapped in a bad relationship, you're probably emotionally exhausted. It's painful because as you're going forward in this relationship, you're giving everything you have and then some. And the other person, for whatever reason, knows that it's kind of a facade. It's a fake relationship.
The first thing about being with a person in a toxic relationship that I think a lot of us miss is that we need to recognize that in fact, that person is toxic. The thing is, we need to kind of accept who they are in general. And it's really difficult to do that, especially when we love that person. They tend to sort of grab the spotlight, whether they do so openly or not. And we tend to kind of get in the habit of letting it shine on them and hiding our own light. In fact, if you're anything like I was during my toxic relationship, it was a pretty consistent thing that I would do. I would put aside everything I wanted and needed just to keep that person happy. And that was very difficult on a number of levels and very unhealthy.
So what exactly is a toxic relationship? Well, to put it quite simply, it's a relationship that is full of negative patterns, different cycles that involve jealousy, control, manipulation, selfishness, and all kinds of other yuckiness. Toxic relationships involve a lot of negative energy, toxic behavior, things that are just going to lead you to find yourself unhappy, miserable. It's when two people are in a relationship and they're sort of stuck together, enmeshed, and it's not good for either person, technically. Some people might call it love addiction or codependence, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter, because toxic relationships are harmful in so many different ways.
If you've ever had a friend, a family member, or a coworker who is a narcissist or who might suffer from narcissistic personality disorder, the chances that you have been a victim of gaslighting are pretty close to 100%. Gaslighting is a certain manipulation technique that they're going to use on you to get what they want.
Emotional abuse is sneaky. It kills your soul. It crushes you as a person. It changes you, and worse. Why is it so sneaky? Well, in most cases, you don't even realize it's happening, at least not until you're well into the abuse. Part of that might be because you have this desire to believe that that person really loves you. Part of it might be because it is so pervasive. I want you to understand something. There's a reason you haven't noticed this if you haven't up until now. And it might be partially because of the fact that you just want to believe that person loves you, or that you just desperately want to think that they really want the best for you. Or maybe you think something's wrong with you. When you get this kind of emotional abuse from someone who is supposed to love you, is supposed to care about you, what it all boils down to is that you think something's wrong with you. It takes away your joy. It takes away your sense of well-being, and it even takes away your mental health sometimes, driving you into this paralyzing place of being doubtful about yourself, of shame. And despite the fact that you try to put on a brave face and not let anybody know, people might start to notice things are a little different about you.
You have to recognize that if this relationship is unhealthy for you, it's going to feel very scary to walk away from it. Fear doesn't leave you without a little work. If it does, it might morph into something else. Anger, codependency, a lot of other things. But here's the thing, you have to acknowledge it and you have to overcome it. You have to understand it. Why are you afraid? What are you scared of? Be really honest with yourself here. This is your life. You don't get a do-over. You get one, as far as we know. There might be a lot of different reasons that you're sabotaging your own needs in these relationships, but the longer you stick in a toxic relationship and the longer it takes you to get through this and move forward into a healthier space where you actually take care of yourself, the more of your life you're wasting. There could be a lot of reasons. Maybe you grew up in a dysfunctional home. Maybe you were bullied in school. Maybe something terrible happened to you and you just don't think you deserve any better. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, you do deserve better. You deserve to be loved and respected. You deserve to feel safe in your home and not scared when you hear the tires in the driveway or when you hear the key in the door. Oh no, it's stress time because this person's back to stress me out. No, it doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't.
So it's really important that if you are forced to deal with someone who has a toxic personality, that you don't allow them to take over your life. You don't allow them to make you give up everything that you want and need in the world in order to keep them happy. You really need to take charge. And as you're doing so, you might find that getting a little me time is more important than you realize. You have to remind yourself of what you have going on, what you're good at, what your dreams are, what your goals are, and don't push those things aside for this person. It's unhealthy and it's doing yourself a big injustice. It's really important that you remember this whole thing is not your fault. You didn't do anything to deserve this. Narcissists will never admit that they've done anything or that they could possibly be part of the problem. And they will do their very best to convince you, in fact, that you are the problem. In most cases, this isn't true. What it comes down to is the narcissist is incapable of taking responsibility for their own behavior.
There are no parallels to be drawn among the partners of narcissists if we're talking about height, weight, eye color, race, or any other physical or cultural characteristic. While there seems to be no ideal or standard mate, friend, spouse, etc. for a narcissist, there are certain similarities about the relationships that we can point out, certain parallels. For example, the narcissist typically begins any new relationship with sort of a honeymoon period, during which everything seems perfect, almost too good to be true. Living in a relationship with a narcissist can be everything from exciting and exhilarating to soul-sucking and traumatic. And it's usually one extreme or the other, depending on what day it happens to be. You might compare it to a type of emotional roller coaster. And a narcissist cannot exist without someone to adore, someone who will submit to their will, someone to be available at their whim and willing to disparage him or herself for their benefit. The narcissist's entire identity really depends on it. It's called narcissistic supply.
There's internal drama within the relationship. There's drama from outside the relationship when we're talking about other people trying to get involved or cheating and all kinds of stuff like this. And bottom line, it sucks the energy right out of anyone involved, especially if you're an empath. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and yet expecting different results. Well, that's really common when you're talking about a toxic relationship. One or both partners might be trying the same thing. Let's talk about it. Let's go to counseling. Let's do this. Let's do that. None of those things work. And yet they keep trying and they don't try anything different.
You've got one person who's a really great person who's real and genuine and full of the best intentions. And that person really wants to make this relationship work. And then you've got a quote unquote partner who's totally not even there. They're checked out. In fact, in some cases, they don't even really act like they're in a relationship at all. It's a little sad. It's quite infuriating. And at the very least, it makes you go, what? What in the world just happened? And why is it happening? Every situation is different, but when one of you is invested and the other person isn't invested, you might be dealing with a fake relationship. Unfortunately, the love you feel for the other person might actually be clouding your ability to kind of take care of yourself and get out of the situation. The infatuation factor, the fear of abandonment, lots of other things can kind of dig in and cause you to not be logical and instead to let emotion drive you, to let emotion make the choices for you. And if you're dealing with any sort of trauma bonding in the process, that's a whole other ball of wax.
So what draws a person into a relationship like this and keeps them there? What makes a person want to stay with a narcissist? Well, most toxic relationships in general become toxic because of the codependency between two distinct personality types. The people pleaser type, or the fixer, the codependent, and the taker, or the controller, the narcissist. Now, codependents are likely to be compassionate and kind. They tend to be sacrificing and giving and focus mostly on the needs and desires of other people in their lives. They're not likely to emotionally disconnect, and in many cases, they might not even know how to emotionally disconnect. And most aren't aware that they need to avoid narcissists, at least not when they get started. And narcissists tend to be primarily selfish, self-centered, controlling, and harmful to a codependent person. Now, a codependent is likely to appreciate these differences initially, and what they first see in the narcissists as almost strengths because they're so different than the codependent. Well, this is before, of course, the narcissist has ripped off that mask and shown the ugly side or their true colors. And after that, it can get a little muddy.
Narcissists could probably use professional help in many cases. They may have narcissistic personality disorder, or they might just be kind of up there on the spectrum. Just for reference, narcissism is obviously something that every human possesses a little bit of, because in its purest form, it's self-interest. So even just getting up out of bed in the morning and feeding yourself could be considered narcissism. But we're not talking about selfie takers or anything like that. We're talking about people who have a lack of empathy. That's the one uniting quality among all narcissists of the toxic type is the fact that they don't have empathy for other people. And anytime they do display it, it's usually sort of contrived in an effort to get something from that person. So they operate from a perspective of someone who just doesn't care how other people feel. And you can imagine how painful that can become for the people in their lives.
And you might go from being a sweet, caring, loving, thoughtful person who has all kinds of friends and people in their lives and everything is great to somebody who's cold and withdrawn and depressed and unhappy and miserable, has no friends.
While physically, culturally, and otherwise, the victims of narcissism are all very different, there are certain qualities that do typically unite them. Certain things that we all kind of have in common. First, you have to be a little insecure or at least have a sort of distorted sense of reality if the narcissist is going to expect you to stick around. Otherwise, you're going to be out on the first or second exhibit of narcissism very early in the relationship. As a codependent, you might belittle yourself and demean yourself, and during the relationship, you might glorify the narcissist and put them on sort of an untouchable pedestal. Initially, this could be to combat the narcissist's apparent lack of self-esteem, if they're of the covert nature, or it might be in response to simple positive feedback from the narcissist when you do pass along this praise. As a result, the codependent person puts him or herself in the position of the victim. And that works fine for them, as they have a tendency to punish themselves. Maybe they even seem to display a little bit of masochism in some cases, and they might even feel like they kind of deserve this life of torment. The codependent might become the narcissist's sort of eternal scapegoat, always put upon and always putting his or her own needs last. In fact, that's kind of part of how the codependent survives in a toxic relationship, by putting their own wishes, their own dreams, hopes, aspirations on the back burner in favor of the narcissist.
Of course, you can suggest to your toxic person that they go and get counseling and maybe that would help them. But what I've seen in many cases is that they won't get counseling because they don't believe anything's wrong. In fact, if you do ask them to get counseling, very often they will sort of turn it all around on you and deflect and say, you're the problem. You're the one who needs help, not me. And then it becomes a real pain in the butt. They don't think anything's wrong, so they won't get counseling. Many narcissists or people with narcissistic personality disorder also deal with various addictions, alcoholism, drug addiction, things like that, or even other mental health and personality disorders can be present. Of course, you can suggest to them that they reach out for help, but like I said, most of the time, that's just going to make them mad. Yes, narcissistic personality disorder is a personality disorder, but it doesn't make it okay for them to abuse and mistreat you. You are probably going to need some help getting through this too, and you need to recognize this. A lot of us end up with complex post-traumatic stress disorder, or at least some symptoms of that, among other things. CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder, is a psychological disorder that you can develop in response to various long-term traumas. That is, repeated experiences of trauma in a context where you feel like you just really can't escape from it. Does that make sense to you? Some of the things you might feel during CPTSD might include feeling scared all the time, or feeling helpless or worthless, feeling hopeless, depressed, anxious, all of that stuff. And the worst thing about CPTSD, where it stands out above other types of psychological disorders or psychological conditions, is the fact that CPTSD changes who you are at the core. And it involves a lot of emotional dysregulation, which just basically means that you have trouble controlling what goes on inside your own head or your own heart, your own emotions. Depression tends to lead to immobilization anyway, but what we have as survivors of narcissistic abuse often is what they call walking depression, which means you don't really know you're depressed. You still function, you still act like a normal person, as far as anyone can tell, but you're kind of dissociated. You're kind of going through this thing that most people just don't understand. And so even though on the outside you look normal, on the inside you feel kind of broken. Well, when we get to the place where we stop being able to function, I think it's pretty understandable given what we've all gone through. But why does CPTSD, why does recovering from narcissistic abuse lead us into feeling stuck? Why does that happen exactly? I mean, I could tell you, okay, it's because of PTSD, but what does that really mean? During the relationship, you may have become exhausted by the abuse, by the ridiculous demands that the narcissist had on you. And if you were in one of those relationships where the narcissist required a large amount of your time or attention, you may have been so emotionally exhausted from that, that in the rare moments when the narcissist wasn't in your face, all up in your business, you might have just had to sit and do nothing, or lay in your bed and do nothing, just so that you could emotionally recover, because you just didn't didn't have any more emotions to give other people. Now, you may have even found yourself accidentally or intentionally pulling away from other people in your life who required your emotional attention simply because you couldn't possibly give one more bit of yourself. Well, this makes us depressed, it makes us anxious, and it gives us that walking depression factor where we're functioning but we're not really functioning. But you might also just have persistent feelings of just being so sad. You might be persistently feeling angry, or you might even have thoughts that I don't even want to talk about right here, but you might even have thoughts of ending it all. That's not healthy, but it's normal for survivors of abuse. It's normal for survivors of abuse to have a moment of that. What's important, if you do feel that way, is that you don't take it lightly and that you do something to change how you feel and how you perceive yourself in those moments.
Researchers tell us that the codependency symptoms continue to get worse the longer you leave them untreated. But the good news is you can treat them. They can be taken care of. You can be helped if you start now. They can be helped if you start now. Start doing something to change your life right now, and it will get a little bit better every single day. Leaving a relationship is scary because you're scared that you'll be alone maybe forever. Staying in an unhealthy relationship and thinking that you're just going to protect yourself, that's going to mess with your head after a while. Sure, you can do it. You can gray rock all day long, and it works. But eventually, you're going to actually stop feeling those emotions that you spend all this time hiding. And why do you hide the emotions? You hide them because you're afraid as soon as you let them out, the narcissist will attack you and or use them against you. You might be one of those people who the only thing you know is pain, conflict, and stress might actually feel comfortable to you. And I know that sounds like crap, but I'm telling you, think about it really hard. If you left for a while and you came back and you got into one of the same arguments you've always been in, wouldn't it feel kind of normal? Doesn't stress and conflict feel a little bit normal to you sometimes? Dealing with this behavior on a regular basis, someone who's not available to you emotionally or only is available when they feel like being available, someone who's always distant or only interested in you at certain times for certain reasons, usually when they want something from you, someone who is just blatantly disrespectful to you, is that really comfortable? You can't imagine maybe what it would feel like to be with someone who just wants to be with you for you. Someone who, when you say, "How do you feel about me?" they say, "I love you because you are a smart person. You are amazing. You are good looking. You are this and this and this." What does a narcissist say when you say, "Why do you love me?" They say things like, "I love you because you rub my back. I love you because you take care of the house. I love you because you make a lot of money. I love you because you do this, 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 and this for me." And you say, "Yeah, but what about me? What do you love about me?" "Well, I already told you. I love that you do these things for me." There's the difference.
Another thing that happens to us in CPTSD is forgetting stuff. We forget traumatic memories. We forget what it felt like to go through the abuse. We might find ourselves reliving the traumatic events over and over again, awake or asleep. We very often dissociate, where we feel completely detached from ourselves and the world around us. We feel guilty. We feel like we're, you know, kind of stigmatized, or we're pariahs in our communities, or we feel like we're just really different from everybody else in our lives. Like, we just kind of feel like we don't belong here sometimes. If we're still in the relationship, or when we were in the relationship, we may have given way too much power to our narcissist. We may have decided that our narcissist was the all-powerful person in our lives and we must obey them. And maybe we didn't decide that consciously, but on some level, we allowed them to have that power, and a lot of us feel a lot of shame about having done that. Even though it's not our fault, even though we know better now, we beat ourselves up for what we didn't know then, and that's important to remember. We shouldn't do that. Like I said, we get isolated, we don't trust people, we feel more pulled away, we feel dissociated from people, we feel distant from people. And if you're someone who had a really strong sense of faith in any particular religion or modality, and you go through this stuff, you might find yourself feeling completely separate from that. And very often, people who grow up in a certain kind of religion, or people who are raised in a certain kind of way, will step away from that thing after they go through abuse, and for a number of reasons that we're not going to go into today. Those are some common things that you deal with as someone who goes through CPTSD. The other thing is the brain chemistry factor. When you are constantly going through ups and downs that come with being in a toxic relationship, and you go through the cycle, the, you know, love bombing, devalue, discard, hoover, love bombing, devalue, discard, hoover kind of cycle, your adrenaline is going to be all over the place. You're not going to naturally produce dopamine, and you're not going to naturally find a way to sort of self-regulate. That is why we have the emotional dysregulation. And we might also find ourselves avoiding thinking about things that stress us or trigger us because it's just too much for us. And sometimes those things are things we need to deal with. Some of us might use alcohol, drugs, shopping, gambling, whatever, to kind of numb the pain and keep moving forward from there, or to not feel stuff. Some survivors engage in horrible things like self-harm, and I'm not going to go into any more detail on that, but it's not okay. Sometimes when you have been in a situation where you've been called weak or you've been called not good enough for your whole life, not only will you blame yourself, but often certain professionals will blame you as well, whether we're talking about a psychologist or a counselor or somebody like that who just doesn't really understand PTSD or CPTSD or the nuances that come and the subtlety that comes with narcissistic abuse. People don't get it unless they've experienced it and really dug into it. And so this is important because a lot of my clients, a lot of people here on YouTube, a lot of people in other places that I'm in community, they say to me, my therapist told me it was my fault. And they spent years believing that. And that's something that's so important to note. You cannot blame yourself and you cannot allow other people to blame you for what you've gone through. So it's important to get yourself checked out physically and also talk to a counselor or a coach to help you kind of get over the hump when you're going through the healing process. You might deal with symptoms of anxiety, depression, stress, overwhelm, things like that, social anxiety, etc. So when do you move on? When do you know it's time to leave? Well, obviously, if anyone's physically, emotionally, or verbally abusing you, it's time to start thinking about it. You might be dealing with things like name calling, being humiliated in public, having the narcissist just generally patronize you and make you feel like you're, you know, a little kid or you're worthless or useless. Lots of mean sarcasm, threats, screaming, yelling, ignoring, silent treatment, jealousy, various accusations of perceived or actual missteps or slights that they think you've done to them. I know you're thinking, but every relationship has its ups and downs. But unfortunately, it's a little more complicated than that here, because we are talking about a toxic person and we are talking about someone who has abused you on some level.
Listen, victims of narcissism will often call themselves people pleasers or diplomats, like I said before. But the truth is that we are often so downtrodden in our relationships that we become changed, sort of reactive versions of our former selves. Narcissists tend to have this ideal image of what they want us to be, what they want their partners to be. And if you dare to tarnish this in any way, or to cause them to doubt it in any way, you're going to find yourself in the doghouse with a narcissist. They're also going to expect your home and your lifestyle to appear perfect, and they're going to want you and all of that to make certain statements to the people they want to impress. Because with a narcissist, it's never actually about making you, their partner, happy or anyone else happy, safe, fulfilled. It's always about what people on the outside of the relationship think and perceive. So a lot of people ask me, can the narcissist also be a codependent then? Well, contrary to popular belief, narcissists aren't necessarily the polar opposite of a codependent. In fact, while they do appear to be completely different than their victims, like I said, polar opposites almost, they often have similar experiences and traumas to the very people they're victimizing. And this is often seen because victims of childhood abuse and or neglect, the majority of narcissists experience something like this. And so they can identify with their victims and their own issues if only they had the empathy to do that. So what am I talking about? Well, for example, both narcissists and their victims experience certain symptoms of codependency, like the overwhelming feelings of shame, living in denial of their childhood abuse and neglect, or of their own current issues. They might have control issues or dependency on others for their self-worth. They might have issues with setting and overstepping boundaries and communication problems. Ultimately, while it does seem a little counterintuitive, narcissists are definitely codependent. They just kind of manifest it differently than we do. The difference is that narcissists seem to turn inward, while victims of narcissists tend to turn outward with the love that they normally would have given parents and other family members had they been allowed to do that. Don't let a toxic relationship break your spirit. You can get out there and you can take back your life. Now, I do offer coaching. You can go to queenbeing.com/coaches. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, are you in a relationship with a narcissist, or have you been in one before? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.